Omnia Pro gives you the confidence to eliminate dead water on thousands of lakes across the U.S. Exclusively through Omnia, utilize our map layers containing critical real-time satellite information to see water temperature, water clarity, and important weather data all in one place, along with one-foot contours for Navionics and detailed CMAP social mapping. Matched with Omnia's industry-leading loyalty credit program on all your tackle and gear needs, this is the only app you need in your arsenal for success on the water.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting edition of Guide Day, a BTL special as we roll on and highlight different guides from across the country with unique fishing experiences. And we've done, perhaps just because I really like smallmouth and I think it's a really cool experience, and I talk to a lot of guys that are down here, especially that belt from like Oklahoma across down to Florida, who have always wanted to get up and tangle with some giant smallmouth. And I'm like, dude, you got to get up and do it. Like, it's the deal. And we had JP on, and we'll have Travis Manson on here too in a little bit to talk a little bit about that kind of New York Northern. But one of the other hotbeds for smallmouth, without a doubt, and it has been highlighted in postseason and all-star events on the Bassmaster Elite Series in the past, is Minnesota. It's known as the land of 10,000 lakes, and in those 10,000 lakes, there's a couple that really stick out as hotbeds for giant smallmouth fishing, and then it also opens up a whole different part of the country to a lot of those anglers in the Midwest and the South, like, that can make a 10 or 12 hour drive. It's a lot different than a 20 or 24 hour drive, and you still have a chance to catch a giant fish. So that's what we're going to focus on today, and we are going to bring in a familiar face to BTL, and that is none other than Trevor Lowe. Trevor, thanks for jumping on Guide Day today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
So we've had you on a bunch in the past with Omnia, which in the past, that was your full-time job for how many years?
About a year and a half, almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Did a great job bringing Omnia and increasing the awareness on that, working with their pro team, their staff to get the word out on Omnia. But I don't think we ever dove into it during the episodes on BTL. But guiding is kind of one of the ways why you ended up with Omnia. You continued to guide while you were with Omnia. And now just recently, you've got what? You have one kid with a kid on the way?
That's correct. Yeah, I've got a daughter who's about 20 months old, and then I've got a son coming in July. So it's coming quick.
But I talked to you at the Bassmaster Classic, and you said, hey, man, want to spend more time with the family, and I want to reignite that passion that I've had for guiding that I did full-time before Omnia, that I did part-time when I was with Omnia, and now you have ventured off into the world again of full-time guiding.
Yeah, that's correct. I left Omnia a couple weeks ago and, you know, loved my time there. Really appreciative of all the relationships that I was able to build, all the experience that I got at Omnia. You know, I have nothing but great things to say about the company and the people there. But yeah, transitioning into this new stage of life, this just gives me the opportunity to have more flexibility with my schedule. My wife, she is a news reporter here in the Twin Cities. And so, you know, she's got kind of a funky schedule. So this gives me the opportunity, like I said, to be flexible and to work my schedule around her, so we have time with the family, and gets me back on the water, which I love. Love sharing my passion of fishing with people. And it's super rewarding to see, you know, younger novice anglers or even experienced anglers tangle with, you know, world-class smallmouth up here in Minnesota.
All right, let's dive right into it. Let's talk about Mille Lacs Lake. It's been on the radar for a long time. It was thrust into the spotlight when Seth Fighter won up there on Mille Lacs Lake. It's a very dynamic, unique fishery that has all sorts of political and economic and regulations and things that are going with it. But it's one of those mythical places that I hear. You know, you hear Okeechobee in Florida or Havasu out in the desert or the California Delta or Lake Gunnersville. I would put Mille Lacs in that category as a place with massive potential, but also slightly intimidating if you've never been there. Is that a fair assessment of that fishery? And then just kind of break down how you would describe Mille Lacs to the average guy who's never been there.
Yeah, it's I think that's a fair assessment. It's a big body of water. You know, the weather can turn on you. And so that's probably the most important thing to pay attention to, especially the wind. You know, there's really no protection from the wind outside of fishing the side of the lake that the wind's coming out of. And when you're talking about Mille Lacs, you know, like I said, big, big body of water. But, you know, a lot of the lake is not what you would consider fishable water. You know, you got the entire center of the lake, but it consists of a ton of mud flats. And generally speaking, the smallmouth aren't going to relate to that. You know, you'll get walleye that are out there. You'll get burbot, which you are now familiar with.
Oh, I love cat. I caught one of those first time ever. Those things are the coolest.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'll get those out in the mud, but the smallmouth are going to relate more to your reefs, your shorelines with all the rocky flats and rock piles and reefs and stuff like that. Yep.
It's 133 acres. You mentioned a lot of it is fishable. The first time I ever laid eyes on Mille Lacs and looked at it, I was like, this thing's just a massive circle.
Correct. Yeah, it's like you said, you know, it's about 20 miles across, 20 and change, depending on which direction you're looking at. But yeah, it's, you know, on a clear bluebird sky day, you know, super calm on the water, you can see across the lake. But other days, you know, it's like looking out in the ocean. You can't see the other side.
It was ranked as the number one lake in both 17 and 18, I believe, by Bassmaster. It got a lot of pressure and continues to get a lot of pressure. Talk a little bit about the guiding season out there in Minnesota. I believe you guys have some interesting, like, you know, in Oklahoma, I can go fish for whatever the heck I want to, 365, I think, unless it's like a paddlefish or a stocked rainbow trout. But a little bit more stringent up in Minnesota when it comes to targeting and catching the smallmouth bass.
Yeah, we have seasons, and I might be wrong saying this, but I think we're one of the only states, if not the only state, that continues to have bass seasons, open and closed seasons for inland waters. But, you know, our fishing season opens up for catch and release the second weekend of May, and that goes until the subsequent February for inland waters. But, you know, by the time November, December rolls around, all that, all of our lakes are iced out. So, you know, generally you're not targeting bass through the ice. Some people do, but, you know, our open water season runs from about May until November. And, you know, Mille Lacs, when these fish come off of or come off the winter time, the ice finally breaks apart and you get open water. It's like these fish haven't seen lures in 6 months. You know, they're super hungry. They're super easy. I wouldn't say easy to catch, but they're super eager to eat. And they're super aggressive at that time of year.
Talk about your history with Mille Lacs. It's been well documented. You fish in the Bassmaster Classic as a result of being a collegiate fisherman for Minnesota. You then fished some Bassmaster Opens after that. But talk about how you got your start guiding on that fishery.
Yeah, I mean, I started fishing Mille Lacs probably 10-ish years ago. And, you know, it was kind of one of those quote-unquote best-kept secrets by the locals, you know. Until Bassmaster really came to Minnesota, you know, it didn't have that nationwide publicity that it has now. And yeah, you know, the fishing was incredible. It's still very good. It's not quite what it used to be, but that's, you know, that's fine. It's public water. Everybody has access to it. And, you know, we definitely want to share our resources with people as much as we can. But yeah, it's one of those lakes where, you know, it doesn't matter. It seems like the average fish there is 4 to 4.5 pounds. You know, you catch a pile of them. You know, if you're not hitting 20 pounds a day, you know, that's a slow day. You know, you're kind of upset with yourself if you're at 18, 19 pounds a day. And, you know, a great day out there is like 25 to 28. And, you know, there are people that have claimed to catch 30 pound bags out there on smallmouth too. So, it's very doable. You know, we've seen very, very big fish come out of Mille Lacs. But like I said, I think just the sheer quantity of quality bass in that lake is astounding. And you really get to see that when you come up.
How did you get started guiding?
Yeah. So, you know, I began fishing Mille Lacs a ton. And, you know, I have friends that have guided up there for a long time. And, you know, I thought, you know, if there's something that I can do in order to, you know, make a living while getting on the water, you know, I was interested in it. And so it's hard to say no when you can spend, you know, every quote unquote work day on Mille Lacs, you know, and one, potentially get to fish as well as see other people fish and catch big smallmouth while they're doing it. So that's kind of how I got plugged in. I had some friends that, you know, kind of helped me understand the nuances of guiding, as well as the, I guess you would call the guiding atmosphere, guiding climate up here in Minnesota. Just so, you know, I didn't just show up and, you know, step on anybody's toes and try to act like I was the guy or I was the man up here. You know, there's many, many people who've been doing it longer than I've been alive up here. And so, you know, you want to have that respect, but also, you know, wanted to participate in that and get involved in it as much as I could as well.
That's a great point that you bring up, because, you know, regardless of where you go, you talk about a historic fishery, you're going to have a lot of guys that guide on it. We're going to have Josh Douglas on later this year, who also guides on Mille Lacs, a little bit of a different system. I think that he uses a little bit more limited, but when you're getting into it, is that one of the kind of under talked about things in the guiding community as far as working your way into a lake where you've got a bunch of guys who are like, oh, here comes another guy, and then becoming established and working with them and you guys having a working relationship when you have a lot of multiple guides who their livelihood depends on guiding on that body of water?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of similar to tournament fishing, where if you fish a trail, if you fish, let's just say in Minnesota's case, Minnetonka, you know, for the most part where certain guys are going to start on their tournament day, and you don't, even if you have an earlier boat draw, you don't cut them, because you know that's where he's going to start, and you kind of have that mutual respect and that almost camaraderie in a sense where it's like, hey, if I know this person's going to start here, even if I could get there before he does, you know, that's his spot. You just kind of leave that alone and you go find your own stuff. And Mille Lacs is big enough that you can do that. There's plenty of fish out there that you can go find your own fish anywhere across the lake. And yeah, it's just having that mutual respect, because, you know, you don't want to come out there and just start cutting everybody off, especially if they're also guiding and, you know, on a trip or something like that. That's just not the right thing to do. So I feel that the more respect and courtesy that you give out to these other guys, the more they respect you. And like I said, I think that's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest unwritten rules, or not so openly talked about things. And if you always, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask questions too, you know, if you don't understand. I think rather than just trying to make an assumption and play ignorant, I think it's also very good and helpful to just ask questions so that you know, if there are certain things that you should or shouldn't do.
Let's talk seasons, because there's some really cool bites that go down on Mille Lacs. I've actually partaken in the topwater bite on Mille Lacs, which I would rank as probably one of my top 10 most exciting fishing moments, just as a whole, fun fishing with these bass that would barely slurp down a topwater to where it looked like a 10 incher. You'd reel into it and it would be a 4 to 5.5 pounder every time. So let's start with that second week in May when the season opens, and just kind of take it in chunks in your opinion on what the seasons are, and then kind of the things that are most likely to put a mega sack in the boat. And if you go up there and fish for a day, you can expect.
Yeah. You know, generally speaking, when on a, in a given, normal, a given normal year in Minnesota, that first week, opening weekend is, it's usually a pre-spawn deal. You know, the water's still too cold. They're not up on beds or they're not spawning yet. So obviously jerk bait comes into play. Hair jig comes into play. It's a great time to come and throw a hair jig if you've never caught one on a hair jig. I love throwing a little like paddle tail swim bait. That's kind of my jam. Tubes, Ned rigs, you know, typical smallmouth stuff, pre-spawn stuff. But like I said, that's that time of year when they're all starting to push up, getting shallow, to go to one to feed and to spawn. And so, you know, it's a great time of year to go and catch them out deeper. You know, you don't have to go and just catch them off of beds. I know that can be popular, and you know, it does kind of seem like some of those fish get harassed a little bit, especially I'm sure, you know, smallmouth are just too aggressive for their own good. You know, you can catch the same one off a bed five times in a day. So, you know, I generally try to leave the ones that you can visually see alone, because, you know, other people are going to see them and go catch them as well. So, but that's the nice thing about Mille Lacs. You know, you've got this pre-spawn season, which goes from, you know, the beginning of May all the way until sometimes July, because just depending on how late the spawn is and how cold it stays in the springtime, you know, you'll have fish that are coming in waves. You know, the first wave will come up and spawn first, and you still have the second wave that, you know, is still in a pre-spawn stage. And once those, that first wave pulls off, the next wave pulls up, and it's this huge cycle. And like I said, you'll find, you know, bedding fish in, you know, 10 to 15 foot of water that are still holding onto a bed in, you know, first week of July at times, you know, and it's pretty wild to see. But then you can also see them on beds as early as, you know, first, second week of May as well. So a lot of it is, you know, hinges on the weather, but it's like I said, they do it in waves. So it's really cool because if you like catching them on a jerkbait, pre-spawn, hair jig, whatever you want to do out a little bit deeper, running around and looking for big schools of them that are waiting to push up, you can do that for, you know, a month and a half, you know, or you can, you know, if you want to go pick some off of beds, you can go do that for a month and a half, you know, so it gives you this big window of opportunity to fish however you like to fish.
Is that the best time, in your opinion, that May to middle of June, early July, to catch numbers of fish on Mille Lacs?
Yeah, I would say so. You can, like I said, you can run into a school of, you know, 50 to 100 of them, and you'll see them all just swimming on the up shallow.
Oh, wow. Like visually lay eyes on.
Correct. Them. Yep. Oh, cool. And you can fire out like a Senko at them, and you'll just see like 10 of them just torpedo to it. It's super cool. I think, numbers wise, it's a ton of fun. And obviously you have that opportunity to run into a big one as well.
Okay. Then so after that, or during that, is when the topwater bite pops off as well.
Towards the end of it, I would say kind of that post-spawn deal. You know, when they're pushed up shallow, when the water's warming up, you know, water gets up into the mid 60s, that topwater deal can get real good. But like post-spawn, pre-summer pattern is like unbelievable. You know, that beginning of July to the end of July, sometimes we get like a mayfly hatch around that time of year too. And it can get really fun with a topwater for sure.
What other types of baits are you targeting them with during that time as well?
Yeah, hair jig is popular. Like I said, mayfly hatch. So something simple that you can cast, cover a lot of water with. Ned rigs are always popular all year long. Fish eat fish. So paddle tail swim bait. I think that's when the jerk bait starts to slow down a little bit. As they kind of push out into that deeper water post-spawn, you can get them on a jig, which is a ton of fun. You know, it's not always just spinning rods up here. You can catch them on a bait caster. You can boat flip them. So football jigs is a ton of fun. Cracking them on a tube, if you want to use a bait caster, you can do that too. Like I said, it's amazing because this fishery, like when they come up in waves, they leave in waves. You know, you really can catch them however you want most times of the year. But, you know, that's like I said, when they're up shallow post spawn, kind of cruising the reefs and staying in that, you know, 5 to 8 foot range, you know, you can really do some work with a topwater too. And that's a ton of fun.
And then as the weather transitions to fall, which I would imagine starts to happen in mid to late September into October and November, talk about the fall bite on Mille Lacs.
Man, the fall bite, we talk about the springtime bite, but the fall bite, it's almost like you don't catch small ones in the fall.
Really?
You know, yeah, it just seems like every single one you catch in the fall is big. They're feeding, they're getting ready for winter. They know that first cold front is kind of the signal. Okay. You know, things are starting to cool off. We need to start eating. The bait fish is all in relatively, I guess, bigger in size at that point of the year too. You know, so your perch, you have Cisco that move up from the depths. And these are like big 6, 7, 8 inch Cisco that smallmouth are feeding on, you know. So glide baits are popular. A-rigs are popular. I throw a big like 6 inch paddle tail Kitech. Like I said, you know, you can run into a school of them. And like I said, they're all 4 to 5 pounders. And sometimes, you know, if you get them on that big swim bait or like a big jig or something like that, you know, you can run into like a true 6 to 7 pound range fish. So just
they'll come up and eat a glide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like how many a day average fall day, let's say you got someone who's like, dude, I want to glide smallmouth all day. What are we talking? Average day. Like I said, I think people by now realize this is fishing. There's a ton of uncontrollable variables. You can hit it, but generally speaking, average in the fall, if you glide all day, what are your followers, bites, fish catch?
Oh man. If you're gliding all day in the fall, I'd say you could catch anywhere from like 10 to 20 of them, on a glide. Yeah. Like it's smallmouth are very, very aggressive. And chances are if one's following it, there's a second one following it too, you know? And like I said, if you get around the school, you're going to catch one. I mean, they're aggressive that time of year. They know the water's getting colder. They're going to start feeding. The bait that they're eating, you know, we see them spit out perch that are 5-6 inches long. We see them spit out, you know, Cisco that are, you know, 7 to 8 inches long. So you can get away throwing like a big shad or, you know, something like that and working a glide bait and they'll come and they'll hit it for sure.
When does that pond get locked up typically and you can't get a boat out on it?
So it's like the whole lake doesn't lock up first. It's the bays that'll lock up because that's where all the ramps are there. So I'd say, you know, middle of December, if you can bear the cold, you can fish all the way through, you know, November. But yeah, right around, you know, early December, mid December is when it locks up. And then, you know, it takes a while for the whole lake to freeze over to the point where you can, you know, drive out there and ice fish. But in terms of preventing you from getting out on the water, then yeah.
Drive December. Out. Yes. You just used the term drive out there and ice fish. Do you like doing November trips, like cold weather trips
where you
get bundled up and have to wear the gloves? Like that can be productive too if you got a guy who's maybe not a hunter but gets a week in November that he wants to come up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like I said, that's some of the best fishing. The people get scared of seeing like 40 degree water water temps and they think the fishing's slow, but there's something about these Minnesota fish that they just kind of like us Minnesotans, it's in our blood. We know that when it's cold, it's just like, you know, pucker up, you know, it's going to be a cold one. You just got to go about your day, you know, and they're still eating, you know, they're not going to just completely turn off. If anything, they know it's like, it's time to eat. So.
As I said, I asked that cause that picture looks like it was
a
fairly cold day.
Yeah. That's my good buddy, Dave. We were out there that must've been like an October, November trip. So, it does get cold out there and, but the fish are still eating for sure.
We'll talk more into it. So, obviously, Mille Lacs is known for its smallmouth bass. A lot of other species out of Mille Lacs too: walleye, perch, muskie,
yep,
largemouth. On an average day, if you're targeting smallmouth, do you also usually have some bycatch as well?
Oh yeah. I would say, you know, if you're targeting smallmouth specifically, you're probably going to run, you know, anywhere from three to four smallmouth to one walleye at least. You're going to run into walleye. They're around the same areas. They're around the bait, you know, they're out there chasing perch. And especially if you get around some of that grass, yeah, you can definitely get into some walleye. But you know, instantly when you're fishing, you set the hook, you get that initial head shake, and then it's just like pulling in a stick. That's a walleye, you know. Mm-hmm. You lose all the head shakes when it's a walleye, but if it continues to, you know, head shake, then you've got a smallmouth for sure.
So the walleye also are like strictly regulated out there.
Yep.
Just based on what's kind of happened with Mille Lacs, actually had, I guess, like a walleye crash, and now it's all sorts of political stuff, but you don't really target walleye with your guide clients, or is that kind of up to you if you get on a school of walleye? Because, I mean, I just remember when I was there, like, there is an insane amount of 5 to 7 pound walleye in that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I fished it like 3 days just for fun and set my personal best walleye like 9 times on a tube.
Yep. Yeah. It's the walleye population, I would say, to me personally, and I'm not a fisheries expert by any means, but I think it's fairly healthy. We catch a lot of walleye not trying to catch walleye, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that speaks volumes. To your point, you know, we do run into very, very nice walleye. You know, I've caught, you know, basically every walleye you catch is anywhere from 21 to 29 inches. You know, they're good size walleyes. You know, I haven't broken a 30 incher yet. But I know there are 30-inch walleyes in Mille Lacs. But yeah, to your point, you know, it does get a little political. The walleye regulation is kind of strict. I think, you know, for a portion of the year, they open it up and they put a slot. So like you can keep one from like 21 to 23 inches, and anything outside of that has to be immediately released, you know? So if a client catches one that falls into that range, you know, I leave it up to them if they want to keep it. As far as smallmouth, you know, it's my policy on my boat is anything smallmouth gets immediately released. If it's a walleye that falls under that slot and it so happens to be in that season, you know, they're more than welcome to keep it.
And then pike and muskie as well. those things can be pretty memorable fish as well out there too.
Yeah. You know, you don't catch too many pike out on the main lake, but when you do, they're big. You know, if you get into the back of the bays, the backs of the bays, you'll run into more pike. There's a little more vegetation back there, but if it's one that's roaming the big, you know, rocky reefs, it's gotta be big enough to hang with the muskies. So it's going to be a big one.
How often do you hook a muskie?
Me personally, I've never hooked a muskie.
Really?
I've never caught a pike on the main lake myself.
A muskie,
you know,
or a pike.
Yeah. Yep. Muskie and pike. Like I've never really? Hooked okay. one. I've only ever like maybe once or twice seen one tail my smallmouth. I had one tail a walleye one time, and then I had one or two tail a smallmouth. But you know, early springtime, you know, middle of May, early June, everything starts pushing up shallow. So you'll see muskies cruising around. You'll see them paired up, you know, and kind of swimming together. And I have foul hooked one with a jerk bait in the back, but I didn't land it.
It's not like a two or three. So is Mille Lacs still a really underrated largemouth fishery, especially when get up in the reeds and shallow?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's everybody is caught up in the allure of, you know, catching smallmouth, and they leave the largemouth alone. So, you know, if you know the bays to get into, you know, you can go skip docks and catch 20 pounds of largemouth skipping docks on a jig or something like that. It's a ton of fun.
All right. Weather wise, talk about the ability to get out on the lake. You're basing a vacation, some days around this, a lot of big water, smallmouth, get blown off the water. Is that a possibility on Mille Lacs too, or is there usually areas of the lake that you can get out on even if it's blowing?
Yeah. I would say for the most part, you know, you can get out unless it's like 25, 30 mile an hour winds consistently, constantly, I guess. You know, for the most part, you're going to fish the side that the wind's blowing out of. If you've got less than 10 mile an hour winds on the lake, then you could probably fish all over the lake. Just depends on how bumpy you want to be all day. But yeah, if, you know, if it's blowing 15, 20, 25, you know, we're just going to fish the side that the wind's coming out of, and you're just kind of forced to play that side. That's just the way it is.
And that lake is developed enough around it to where it's not like a remote lake. Like there's amenities, gas stations, restaurants. You can basically follow the lake around to where if you need to put in a different launch ramp that has less wind, you can do it. So it's very, it's very traveler friendly, so to speak.
Correct.
If you're traveling with a family, if you want to get dropped off to go guiding for the day and the rest of the family goes and does something else, it's not like you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, it is somewhat kind of in the middle of nowhere, but to your point, depending on what side of the lake you're on, I know the West End has like Grand Casino. People want to go hang out there and do that sort of stuff. But it's only about an hour, you know, an hour and 15 minutes from the cities. So, you know, if somebody wants to stay up there and let's just say, dad and son go fishing and mom and daughter want to run down to the cities, they can do that and go spend the day down in the cities. So it's not extremely far from the cities. So you can still get out and do things that you'd like to do if you're not fishing. But yeah, to your point, plenty of ramps that you can launch from any side of the lake, depending on which way the wind's blowing.
All right, let's get down in the nitty gritty. What do you guide out of? What do you offer as far as equipment? What do you bring if you want to roll up and hit Mille Lacs a couple days?
Yeah, so I run a Basscat. I got a 20-foot Cougar FTD with a 250 show. So fully loaded. I've got live scope, 360, you know, all the bells and whistles to to make sure that we're putting you on fish. If you're fishing with me, you're more than welcome to bring your own equipment if you want. But I'll get you set up with all, you know, Daiwa rods and reels. I've got, you know, basically everything you need. I supply all the tackle, you know, cooler full of ice to bring whatever beverages you like, whatever snacks you like, and we'll go catch them. Like I said, it's my goal to put my clients on 20 pounds a day at least when we go out. And, you know, if we're getting close, let's just say it's 19 pounds and, you know, we've hit our quote unquote 8 hours a day, you know, we'll work the extra, you know, 2 hours or whatever it is to get you to 20. We're going to make sure that happens. Or if it doesn't, we're going to, you know, do as much as we can to make it happen.
Skill wise, better to be a diehard bass fisherman. If you want to bring a son or daughter with you, your wife, a friend who doesn't fish very much, talk about how that works as far as success relating to fishing experience and talent.
Yeah. You know, I've taken clients out from people that have never thrown a rod and reel to people that, you know, think that, you know, I don't know what I'm doing and we should go try something else. So I try to, you know, make the fishing or the fishing techniques that we do as suitable as possible to your skill level, you know. So one, I love, you know, we're going to find active fish. You know, I don't want to get into a mode where we're trying to, you know, catch one big one and we're working, you know, 30 minutes to 45 minutes to just try to get one big bite. You know, I want to go somewhere where we can get fish and they're still going to be good ones, you know, 3-pounders, 4-pounders, that sort of deal. But a lot of it is going to be, you know, spinning rod stuff. So for those that don't know how to throw a bait caster, that works. And for those that do want to throw a bait caster, I have bait casters we can use as well. But yeah, try to suit it towards, you know, whatever your skill level is. And I understand that, you know, when you have some novice anglers, when they fire out a Ned rig, they don't know how to drag the bait on the bottom and they just reel. And so if you have people that want to reel, we can throw a little swim bait out, or we can throw a different kind of bait that you can just chuck and wind.
What's boat traffic like on that place now as a weekday versus weekend? Like, what do you typically just kind of run through what you're expecting? You get in the boat with you, you hop out. Are there guys left and right? Can you go the whole day without seeing guys? Like, how's that place fish?
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever go the whole day without seeing somebody unless it's like a weekday and it's brutally cold and miserable.
A windy, rainy
November day. Right. But you know, surprisingly, you'll see musky guys out during those days too. But you know, the boat traffic's not terrible. Obviously the weekdays are lighter than the weekends. But for the most part, you see a lot of boat traffic on, you know, your quote unquote community holes, all the reefs that have buoys marked on them and everything like that. And, you know, generally, you know, if the fish are there, we're going to fish it. You know, I'm not going to take you away from the fish just because there are boats nearby. You know, there's enough fish to go around. But ideally, you know, we like to kind of stay off the beaten path and go catch some fish and hopefully not get seen by too many people doing it.
Do you offer like the educational too? Like a guy wants to come and say, hey, I want to learn how to find this stuff on my electronics, or I want to throw this specific bait for a couple of days. Is that an option as well when they initially contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. I love sharing my passion with people. And if that's learning how to break down a big body of water like this, happy to do that. Happy to let, you know, you sit next to me, look at the electronics, you know, work the trolling motor, fish the live scope, do whatever you want to do, understand 360, kind of explain. Usually what I'm doing on the water is explaining what we're seeing, just so it's not like, okay, throw 2 o'clock this way, 30 yards out. You know, I want you to see what we're throwing at so you can take some of it home and say, okay, look at, you know, we're standing up on the front deck. I look down at your 360. Hey, looks like there's a rock pile over there. Should I try over there? Yeah, absolutely. Make a cast, you know, and when they can start to, you know, piece those things together, use the electronics to do that. You know, it's surprising to see how many people are like, man, I got to go get 360 on my boat now. You know, you've convinced me. Or like, man, this live scope is awesome. You know, so like I said, it's super rewarding for me to be able to help teach some of those anglers that don't understand that stuff, how to use that equipment to be successful in the water.
when it comes to the amount of time that they're fishing with you, talk about one day, half day, multiple day. What's your kind of ideal scenario to experience it? And then what is are the options if you're in the Twin Cities for business and have a day to kill?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I would definitely try to book a full day. Mm-hmm. That just makes the most sense because, one, if you're going to make the trip, especially if you're coming from out of state, you know, it only makes sense to spend the whole day out there. You can get to see more spots on the lake. You know, we got more time to fish and hopefully more time to catch fish. You know, we're catching more fish with more time on the water. And I think it just, you know, if you're catching a ton of fish, it just makes sense to be out there, longer than shorter and cut your day short. So, would definitely recommend a full day. Mille Lacs is such a big body of water that I've taken, you know, 3-4 day trip clients and we still don't hit, you know, nearly all the stuff that we could hit, in a 4 day span there, just because there's so much water. And if you run into a spot where, you know, you're catching them, it's like, why would you leave to go and, you know, potentially run into another spot where they're not as active or you maybe the wind's not as good there and you're just miserable bouncing around in 3-footers when you could be, you know, catching them in calmer water and just enjoying your time.
Website, a lot of details, up to date is Trevor Lowe, TREVORLO fishing.com. No spaces in between. It kind of a cool there. Talks about, fishing in the classic, your path there, information, on Mille Lacs, prices as of, April 16th, when we're recording this 2024 on the website as well. Looks like a full day, 8 hours is $700. And that includes up to two people.
Yep.
Easy to fish with three in the boat. No problem.
Most of the time I'm not fishing. So it's, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'll pull up and if I need to make a couple casts to check if there's fish here, I'll do that. If I hook into one, if you want to reel it in, you can reel it in. Most people say no, but, I put the rod down and say, go to work. You know, it's on you guys now.
I like it. What else am I missing? What am I missing here that you think is valuable information, Trevor?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way to get a hold of me is through my website. I also have a sweet giveaway going right now. So okay. Now until the end of April, I'm offering a full all expense paid trip for one lucky person. If you're down in Texas, I'll fly you up. I'll put you in a spot to come fish with me for a day. And it's going from now until the end of April. So it's on my website as well. I think it is. If you check out the homepage, it should be there. I think if you scroll down, there might be a giveaway.
Hold on. Let me picture. Do this here. Okay. Guide trip giveaway. So just on the main page, there's the top. You scroll down.
So if you click that, it should take you to the giveaway page. And then all you got to do is submit. There's like a Google form down at the bottom. It says giveaway entry form at the bottom there. So how do I enter? Yep. And then subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's it.
Fantastic. And that's a big time giveaway, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta sweeten the pot so that you get some people to come in and enter. So like I said, you know, if you win it, if you're wherever you are, hopefully you're not in Russia or something and I don't have to pay that expensive of a plane ticket, but, I'll fly you up to Minnesota. I
would maybe put some stipulations on the lower 48 there.
Yeah, for sure. But if you're interested, sign up for the giveaway. Like I said, it's free to enter. All you got to do is, you know, fill out that form, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'm trying to get that up and going again. And then, if you win, I'll fly you up. I'll put you up in a spot up there and we'll go fish.
Have you guided some clients from some unique parts of the country?
Yeah, I have clients from Texas, Arizona, Florida. I'm trying to think where else. I mean,
all over where you don't catch smallmouth.
Yeah, all over the place. Good number from Minnesota, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it's cool to meet people. That's one of the, you know, very rewarding things is meeting people. And when you get to spend a whole day on the water with them, you get to learn a little bit about who they are and you meet some very, very interesting people. I actually had a guy, he came up and he wanted to catch a smallmouth on a fly rod. So he's sitting on my back deck just whipping away shallow, like a little hair jig, you know. And yeah, we made it happen. He caught one on a fly rod. He also caught a walleye on a fly rod, which was bizarre, but it worked. So
do you want to give your email out here? There is a contact you page on trevorlowfishing.com, but also if you're listening on iTunes, and I'll put this in the description of the YouTube if you want to email Trevor.
Yeah, it's just fishing.trevorlow, T-R-E-V-O-R-L-O, @gmail.com.
If you had to pick your favorite way to catch them and the favorite month to catch them, bait and time of the year that just you wake up every morning and go, this is what I live for, on Mille Lacs for smallmouth, what are you going with?
Late October on a football jig.
They just don't.
Yep. And you get to crack them. I mean, it breaks the monotony of, you know, spinning rod and then letting them play and letting them run. I mean, 20-pound test, crack them on a football jig, boat flip them.
Are the Mille Lacs smallmouth jumpers or diggers?
They are diggers, for sure.
Not tail-walking fish.
No.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting because I remember, you know, fishing the opens, you get to some places like Cayuga. Oneida.
Oh, not heart attack. Every single
heart
time.
Attack. Every
they
single one.
They feel the hook and they bottle rocket.
Yep. That is not how they are on Mille Lacs. They are diggers for sure.
So they'll just run.
They run. They head shake. They dig. You know. Yeah. You look at those New York smallmouth. You know, as soon as they feel a little prick, they come straight up.
Are they a unique breed up there in Minnesota, in your opinion? You fished all over the country, caught all sorts of different type of smallmouth. Are they a little bit different strain, do you think, than a New York smallmouth or anywhere else in the country?
You know, I feel that the New York strains, well, being from Minnesota, I'd say the New York ones are unique in the sense that I feel like they've got so much more power in their tails. And they just like one push of the tail just does so much more for those New York ones. And maybe it's, you know, if they're Great Lakes, you know, they're in that big water, you know, swimming in the current from the St. Lawrence, you know, all that sort of flow, maybe that makes them a little more tough. But I don't know, they're, like I said, completely different from Minnesota ones, where you touch them with a hook and they come flying out of the water.
They seem to be more, the big ones on Mille Lacs seem to be more character to them as far as coloration, scars. They're kind of big slobs, like they're really good picture fish.
Yeah, they're like balloons, they're like blimps, you know. They're short but very round. Obviously the term is football, but yeah, you can go to New York, like I said, and you can go catch a 5-pounder, 6-pounder out in New York, and they're just, I would say, generally more proportionate, if that makes sense.
Whereas that freak right there,
yeah that one was a fat one.
Really golden too, really golden deep colors of brown on them.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, you can get some that just look like that beautiful bronze, just a polished bronze, but then you also get some that are just tiger striped, you know, like real solid bars going down them. But yeah, you get the whole nine yards on Mille Lacs, that's for sure. You get some that have like that long top dorsal fin that looks like a mullet, and it's pretty cool too.
Awesome. All right, Trevor, anything else before we wrap up this edition of Guide Day?
No, man, I just appreciate you having me. Like I said, if there's any questions, people, they can get a hold of me on my website or any of my socials. I'm happy to answer them. So
Booking now. Season opens second week in May and runs through Ice In. Is that what you call it? Ice In? What do you call it?
Because
there's ice out. What is it when the ice comes in?
Yeah, I'm not
the
sure.
End of the season for open water.
Yeah, until it gets locked up, I guess.
I like it. All right, this has been another edition of Guide Day, presented by Omnia Pro. Check it out on Omnia Pro. A lot of cool features there on omniafishing.com. Trevor Lowe, if you're in the Twin Cities, Minnesota area, Mille Lacs is definitely a bucket list trip. That's all we got for today. We'll be back with a live show on Monday. We'll talk to everybody then. See ya.